What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Here's Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with this week's edition of Start, Bench, Cut.
That's right, Start, Bench, Cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Toe. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Toe. It's back. Start, Bench, Cut. Obviously, you know the way the game works. You can send some into the text line if you'd like. Start, Bench, Cut, 913-586-7965. All right. Start, Bench, Cut. Who do you want to see win this weekend? New England, Chicago, Denver.
I will start of those three. Well, Chicago, then New England, then Denver.
You know, I don't want Chicago,
Okay, if it's New England and Buffalo at the AFC Championship game, I'm not going to be thrilled whoever wins that game. I'd like to see them both. I'd prefer Houston to come out of the bracket. I don't want it to be Denver. I hate them. We talked about hate watching them earlier in the show today. I can't wait to do that. I'm cutting Denver. They're so far out of here. And then I guess by process of elimination, benching New England and starting Chicago.
What's better for Mahomes and the Chiefs' legacy moving forward? Allen gets a ring or New England is back on top?
New England's back on top.
Be fun, wouldn't it?
New England being back on top is absolutely better for the conversation,
All right.
I think so. It's close.
We'll do it again. Start, Bench, Cut. Who you'd rather see win, Bills, Seattle, or the Rams?
I'll go Seattle, Bills, Rams.
Wow, you really don't like the Rams.
I don't like the Rams, no. It goes back to Flipper Anderson in 1988, catching a touchdown pass against the Giants in the NFC playoff game and running out of the tunnel into the end zone into the parking lot. I hate the Rams ever since 1988-89. I hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Go crap your pants again, kid. That was in like fifth grade. People never forget.
That's right.
I don't care really about either of those NFC West teams. They don't really do a whole lot for me. I enjoy the Seahawks team so much more, though. I'll start the Seahawks, but I'm benching the Rams and cutting the Bills.
Okay. I'm going to add one that I don't have in there. Defenses that you'd start, bench, cut. Houston's, Seattle's, and then I will go to Houston, Seattle, and Denver.
Houston.
I would start Houston. I would bench Houston, and I would not cut Houston. Yeah. I'd cut Seattle. I'd probably go Denver as number two, though.
I think I'm with you on Denver two, Seattle three. Seattle's so sneaky good, though. They don't have the name recognition yet, but it's a good defense up there. Houston just clears the rest. It's not close.
We go to play-by-play announcers. I kid. We go to color commentators. Start, bench, cut. Tony Romo, Troy Aikman. Our boy, Greg Olsen.
Well, I'm starting Greg Olsen. He's the best. I really enjoy him.
Did his stock go up over the weekend?
But his stock was already up. He got screwed with the whole, Tom Brady thing. It was like Greg Olsen should be the number one analyst somewhere. So he should start. I'll bench Troy Aikman. I think Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are good. I really do. And then I'll cut Tony Romo at this point in time.
I think Joe Buck is good. I can't stand Troy Aikman. He's my least favorite color commentator out of all the major networks. Bink and I talked about this last night about how the color. I'm not a fan of Collinsworth at this point. Not a fan of Romo, Herbstreit, and Michaels. Don't have that real connection yet. I think Olsen's probably the second best in the game behind Brady, except he got Wally Pitts.
You think Brady's doing a good job?
I think Brady's the best color analyst right now.
You do? Wow. Do. Why? Tell me more. Tell me why.
I think he's finally getting in his groove and able to connect the insight he has from playing into how the audience wants to hear it. Whereas at the start, he was just a robot. He was very formulaic. So, I don't like any of the rest of the guys. So I'm putting him at number one. I would start Greg Olsen, though, even though he's one without a job. I think I'll cut Tony or bench Tony Romo and cut Troy Aikman.
See, I think Tom Brady just does things that you wouldn't think are entertaining, but the way that he described throwing the ball in the wind last week, and I was like, that was huge. That was a big step forward, even though it was something so minute, but it gave you some sort of like, that's what I love when I hear things where I'm like, I never thought of that before. I would have never thought this. Like when you listen to Dana and Mitch, and Mitch is going to do his thing, but every once in a while, Dana will throw you something about like an out route or some sort of right. You're like, never thought about that. Even though you don't ever think about it, that's what to me makes those guys great, is when they give you something to chew on.
Well, that's what you want. You want somebody in that booth who's played the game, who sees it differently. That's why Tony Romo was really good at the beginning, because he knew what was going on. I mean, people ask all the time to players, you better get in your playbook. Somebody should say that to Tony Romo, because after that game that he had on Sunday, everybody is out to get Tony Romo right now. Nobody likes Tony Romo, and I don't know how many more years he has on that contract, but CBS may consider moving him somewhere else.
A lot of start bench cuts coming on the text line. We'll get to those as well. We go to the weekend time slots. These are the three time slots I think that are the best. Saturday, 2:30. Saturday, 7 p.m. Sunday, 2 p.m.
Right in that order.
Just in that perfect order?
Yep.
That's not too early on Saturday. That's not too late on Saturday. 7 p.m. on Saturday is kind of the one where you're kind of, you know, feeling yourself a little bit better. The night's kind of moved on.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a solid game on Saturday night. So, Sunday at 2 is good, too, because you don't have to worry about, maybe you want to sleep in a little bit, maybe you want to get a little breakfast with the lady or, you know, with the family. You got some time to kind of chill on
you
Sunday.
You can chill out a little bit. Yeah, but also, too, then it goes a little bit too late on Sunday night.
Yeah,
you
Sunday
know?
Night, it's a 6:30 kickoff at the Sunday night game, which is better than 7:15, 7:30.
It is, so. Yeah. I think it's 5:30 for us, so, but even still, it's you know, I'd like a little bit earlier, but that's just me being selfish, obviously.
Today is National Chocolate-Covered Cherry Day, right? Better chocolate covered item, cherry, peanut, or pretzels?
I'm going to start the pretzel, I'll bench the peanut, and I'll cut the cherry.
I can't do the cherry one. My mom loved them, but it was like that weird liquid that came out that made me question myself.
Yeah, what is
this? What am I eating? Yeah. You know, it's like, it's clear, it's sugary. I know it's probably just sugar, but I just, something creepy. It's like the Cadbury egg. Not a chance.
Oh, see, I'll eat those. Those are good.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
I'm not in the business of cutting the
cherry. Candy yolk? It's just so weird.
It's just sugar, right?
Start bench cut these games this weekend. Denver versus Buffalo. Seattle versus San Fran. Rams at Bears.
Denver versus Buffalo, I think, is the premier game, so I'll start that. I'll bench Rams versus Bears, and then, I don't like the NFC West ever. Never have. I'll cut Seattle versus San Francisco.
I'm starting Rams-Bears. I think we're guaranteed to get a crazy finish in this game. Both of these teams just play in crazy games. The Rams usually lose them. The Bears usually win them. But I think we're like destined for just a wild finish. Let me bitch Denver, Buffalo, and cut Seattle, San Francisco.
Damn. Nobody likes my Hawks. Backup for the Chiefs next year. Start bench cut. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Jameis Winston.
I'm going to start Jameis. I'm going to start Jameis Winston. I will bench Kirk Cousins, and I'll cut Aaron Rodgers. I just think I've seen enough of Aaron.
I think I would bench Rodgers and cut Cousins, even though I don't want either of them. I want Jameis Winston for the play on the field, but also just, you talk about it being good for what we do. A weekly interview here at the station with Jameis Winston, how much fun would that be?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, though. You know,
he's starting quarterback. He'll be on the drive.
They had Gardner Minshew on the drive. Yeah. Once it's a starting quarterback thing.
Carrington and Jameis.
That'll be great.
I want that.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. I would do anything to just sit in this studio and listen to that interview. Moving
on. But that's what we need, though, more of. Like, more Jameis Winstons in this world, guys. Seriously. Like, he's fun. He's what the game is supposed to be about.
Looking at young quarterbacks in the divisional round, start bench cut. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Drake May.
May Nix, Caleb for me.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, young quarterbacks in the divisional round, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, and Drake May. First time for all three.
I think I have to start Caleb and bench Drake May based on what I saw last weekend. And then obviously I'm cutting Bo Nix. He doesn't deserve to be here. So,
Okay. This is where it gets interesting for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Type of salad.
Yeah, I was waiting for this one.
Steak salad, salmon salad, or a grilled chicken salad?
See, I know I'm cutting the steak salad, not because it's bad. It's just because I love the other two. Some good blackened chicken the other day. I've always had good. I'll go salmon start, grilled chicken bench.
I'm with you 100%. A good salmon salad, one of the best things you can have.
You got to cook salmon the right way, man. Just kind of medium inside where it's still a little undercooked, man.
This is a stacked field. A steak salad's fantastic. Yeah. We still have to cut it.
Yeah.
What about you, Dusty?
Salmon, steak, chicken.
Okay.
And I love them all. I could start them all. From the text line, traditional wallet, money clip, digital pay, or traditional wallet?
I've switched now to a little like money clip type thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm on there, but I've also, you know, kind of embraced the digital pay. And I never did before because I didn't want it on my phone where I was just constantly always paying for it. And then I realized it's just easier that way. So I'll go like money clip, I'll go digital pay, and then I'll go traditional Costanza wallet.
Mm. hurt your back and sciatic.
It does, yeah.
I think I'm starting traditional wallet, but it's in my front pocket here. I switched out of the back pocket a couple years ago. The back just feels so much better.
It really does.
You sit on it when you drive or at work or whatever.
Never.
Terrible for you. I sound like an old person. I can never get the digital pay to work. It's always something with the face ID or, in my case, an insufficient balance. No, but it always doesn't like read the right way or the card reader wants you to. I hate messing with it. So I'll probably bench the
How
money
old are
clip,
you?
Cut the digital pay. I'm 28, but I sound like I'm 88.
You sound like you're me. I'm 48, you're 28, and digital pay I'm just fine with, Grandpa.
Don't do lunges, Nathan. Came in a bunch of times on the text line. Start, bench, cut, vacation edition, beach vacation, mountain vacation, big city vacation. I'm going to knock two of these out this year.
I'm going to go all of the above. Yeah, I think you could have a good time anywhere, but a mountain vacation, you relax. Beach vacation, you relax. Big city thing, you see things, too. Ooh. So
they call that like a trip and less of a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Beach, I agree. Yeah.
For a vacation, I want to go to the beach. I want to hang out, not worry about anything, have a drink, sit in the sand. You know what I mean? Then probably bench, mountain, cut, big city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I start beach. I think I bench, big city, and then I cut mountain. I'm just not a mountain guy. Now, if I were to go like on a ski trip, I think that'd be fun, but you'd find me at the ski resort and then the hot tub while everybody else is hitting the slopes.
Yeah, no chance I'm going down the slopes. Yeah.
Not with that leg, with those lunges.
Not with the leg, no.
God forbid what happens, you get on a snowboard. You might never get up.
Maybe this is the best thing that happened to me, so I don't have to do the skiing and all that kind of stuff. But man, I was in some pain today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Start, bench, cut, brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay Southland Tow. We'll dive back in more on what Ben Johnson had to say and why some people just continue to suck when it comes to some people just being nice here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Diving back in.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Into it here on 96.5 The Fan with Williams, Bob Fesco, Dusty Light is all with you. Gosh. Who's getting paid first? Caleb Williams, Drake May, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix. C.J. Stroud's making $9 million, Bo Nix making $4.6 million, Drake May making $9.1 million, and Caleb Williams making $9.8 million.
Yeah, it's going to be Drake May. We may see something similar to what the Chiefs kind of did with Patrick Mahomes and, adjust that salary right away, to kind of give him a little bit of a bump and whatnot, because he's deserved it. He's played absolutely phenomenal at this point in time. And I think of all of those quarterbacks that you mentioned there, go through the names again. You said Drake May, you said C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, and who was the fourth one?
Caleb.
That you said Caleb
all
Williams.
On rookie deals.
Yeah, all on rookie deals. But I think if you were to look at all four of those guys, you would probably say Drake May has done the most to lead his team than those other guys. Obviously, the Texans powered by that defense, that's huge. You look at the Bears. I mean, they've got what? I mean, are they a defensive team? Are they an offensive team? Are they an offensive line team? Like,
not a defensive team.
It's not a defensive team, but it's more than just
turnovers.
Caleb. Yeah, they do. They figure out ways to get the turnovers and make plays when they need to make plays. So there's something about that. And so I just think right now, Bo Nix still kind of being carried by that defense. I think Drake May has had, in my opinion, maybe the biggest impact on his team.
I think you're right about the impact. It's a great question, Dusty, because those guys are all in year two except for C.J. Stroud, who's probably the least likely to get paid out of this group, I would say. Like, I think the Broncos are enamored with Bo Nix, even though it's the wrong conclusion. We've established that. I think all these guys are probably getting a second contract with their team, but if I had to pick one that didn't, it might be C.J. Stroud, and he's the one that's up first. Man, it's between Drake May and Caleb Williams for me, and I could see the Bears doing something similar if they go on a run in the playoffs, extending him early this year.
Like, serious question. If you're Houston, knowing what you have on defense, it's still young, and a lot of guys still in, obviously they're going to have to pay a lot of people here on defense eventually, but do you give C.J. Stroud that second contract? Like, if he goes out there again this week and he does the same thing he did against Pittsburgh, which will not have the same result, if you go out there and do that against New England, Mike Vrabel will beat you. Easily, but if he goes,
when do they
there,
have to announce the fifth year option after this year? Right? Isn't that the way
they
that
have
it goes?
To elect the option before the start of the next
fourth
season,
fourth year, uh-huh. Right? Yeah,
because we've seen where these can put teams in kind of a back into a corner, mm-hmm. Right? We've seen it with obviously the Arizona Cardinals. Is C.J. Stroud that much better than Kyler Murray?
Look at Tua. I mean, same thing that happened in Miami.
That's just dumb. That's what got that GM.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a terrible contract.
Look,
right?
I will pick up the fifth-year option on CJ Stroud at this point in time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm ready to extend him. I mean, last night is too fresh, right? This is a hard question to answer based on what we saw last night, because I feel like CJ Stroud has been a really good quarterback for the Houston Texans. Not a Super Bowl, you know, Patrick Mahomes, obviously.
But he's played the playoffs.
But he's been in playoffs
three consecutive years.
He's won a game each time.
I mean, yeah, exactly. He's been in the playoffs every year that he's been a quarterback. He's won a game in the playoffs been a quarterback. Yeah, beat Josh Allen in the playoffs, beat Aaron Rodgers, you know, in the playoffs and whatnot. And who'd they beat the year before that?
Who'd they beat his first year? Because they lost to Baltimore in the divisional round.
Yeah.
But that was 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
And then they lost to the Chiefs in the divisional round last year.
After beating Herbert, yes. Yeah. I don't know who they beat the first year. Couldn't tell you.
Buffalo.
It was Buffalo. Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It was Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first year they did that. So, yeah, you know, maybe he is a guy that deserves to get paid, you know, because of the postseason success. But again, that defense has been Buffalo so that good.
Because the AFC Championship game was the Chiefs and the Ravens, and the Chiefs had just gone into Buffalo before that. I'm not sure who they played, but he's 3-2 in the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the pace Josh Allen's winning in the playoffs at, folks.
And look, you can look at Patrick Mahomes and be like, okay, 17-4 in the postseason. That's Tom Brady same way. Take those two guys out of the equation and look at everybody else's postseason record. They're all right around or just below 500. There's not many that are well over 500 of like vested quarterbacks. You can find a 1-0 guy, you know, and a Joe Flacco along the way, but
they beat Cleveland in 2023 season, but in January of 2024, because that was when...
Is that Flacco?
Had to have been, because that's when Cleveland almost had the number one seed going to the playoffs.
Man, I don't remember that at all.
Had to have been Flacco at that point.
I only remember that Baker Mayfield Browns year where they went in and beat the Steelers. I don't remember that game at all, whatsoever.
He beat Cleveland, then lost to Baltimore. He beat the Chargers, then lost to the Chiefs, and then he just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The 620 says Bo needs to get paid first because he's almost 40.
That's fair.
Good point.
Good one. If you think CJ Stroud can be the 11th best quarterback in the NFL, I think you pay him. If you don't think there's a step forward in his game after this year, I'm not sold. I mean, they did, you know, he lost Tank Dell. They've gone through running backs like crazy. You took his left tackle away. I'm not shocked that you've seen worse quarterback play.
Right. And he's had a lot of injuries, too, from, you know, weapons and whatnot.
Because the thing is, would you pay him Brock Purdy money? Because Brock Purdy is the second highest paid quarterback in the playoffs right now. And that's at $53 million.
Well, I see. I don't think you have really a choice. It is what the going rate is, you know. And the CJ Stroud thing, as we kind of talk through this thing a little bit, too, it's an interesting dynamic because – what kind of relationship does he have with the locker room, right? Is he the most popular guy in there? And I don't know the answer to that question, but the reason I bring it up is...
It wasn't last night.
No, not last night. But if he's the most popular guy inside that locker room and both sides of the ball like him and he's kind of the glue that holds everybody together, then that kind of stuff does carry weight, you know, and how you impact, you know, that locker room. Because, you know, I'll go back to, you know, when I guess it was 2015 at that point in time, Jeremy Guthrie wasn't pitching all that well, right? And all the fans wanted Guthrie out of the rotation, get rid of Jeremy Guthrie, he stinks. And I remember having conversations with people in the Royals front office at the time, and I said, what about getting rid of Jeremy Guthrie? And they go, okay, fine, we'll get rid of Jeremy Guthrie. You go tell that clubhouse that we're getting rid of the glue and the guy that holds everybody together. They said, you know, you look at these clubhouses and locker rooms, they're these living, breathing organizations where if you make one move of something, it has an impactful effect on everybody inside that locker room. And so from the naked eye, as we sit here and bloviate and talk about all this kind of stuff as we do, you have to wonder what's going on inside that locker room. And while we didn't like CJ Stroud's performance last night, and I don't think anybody did, like, you know, I don't think his dad's calling me, hey, that was great last night, son, way to go, right? Like, nobody's doing that. But one bad game does not change the fact that he could be one of the most impactful players inside that locker room and on that field. And if you got rid of him, that could have a negative residual effect on everybody else inside that organization. So I don't know. I don't know where they stand.
I look at, like, we talk about it so much with these head coaches, like moving on from Harbaugh or Tomlin or LaFleur, and you say, who are you going to get? It's that times a million with your quarterback in the NFL. Sure. I mean, there's like eight of these guys that you'd want, that you actively are like, yeah, that makes my team better to have him as the quarterback. And there's the next 10, like the next third of the league is like, I could take or leave him, but I don't want to leave him because I see what the bottom third of the league has.
But I think
trapped.
And I think a lot of those conversations have to do with like what they have elsewhere on the team. Like, do you think that Houston could be successful if they don't pay CJ Stroud and then go get a cheap contract and a guy like Mac Jones? Or like what Seattle did with Sam Darnold, because Minnesota said, nah, we're good. We'll go with JJ McCarthy. Didn't pay Sam Darnold. Seattle did. They're the one seed.
See, in Houston, I trust D'Amico Ryans more on the defensive side of the ball to have them ready if you took assets away from him than I would stripping that offense. Like in San Francisco, I trust the offensive mind and Shanahan to milk more out of the offense if that's depleted. In Houston, I'd rather invest more in the O-line and the wide receivers, pay C.J. Stroud, and then let D'Amico work his magic with less assets on that side of the ball. But I also don't want to get rid of Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley. Like, those guys are so good and so much fun to watch. So,
well, eventually you can't pay everybody, as we see. You know, it just happens that way. And you're right about, you know, finding a quarterback. I don't know if it's harder to find a quarterback or a head coach. Ask me tomorrow. I may have a completely different answer, you know, on that. It depends on obviously who's available and whatnot, but there's been so many swings and misses at head coaches recently in this league. I think it's hard to find them, but there's been so many swings and misses at quarterback right now. And if you have a good quarterback, which I think CJ Stroud is, then you find ways to build around him and invest around that guy instead of taking pieces away from him, which like when we started, as Nathan mentioned, all the pieces have been taken away from this guy. And remember, they traded the Laremy Tunsil at the beginning of this season, and we all thought, what's going to happen? And look at where they are. They're in the AFC divisional playoff game for the third consecutive year.
And a lot of people forget they started 0-3.
Yep, and won 10 in a row.
This is from Sunday. Sorry, this is from Saturday night. Anything wrong with that? In your locker room saying F the Packers?
Nah.
F them? Right?
Nope. Okay.
Because, you know, that was your rivalry in the NFC North. That was everybody wanted that game.
It's the longest running rivalry in the NFL. Yeah.
And you got them. And when you got them when it mattered.
Yeah.
You beat them at home. Dramatic comeback. The city on your back. The weather that decided not to show up for some reason. It was there. And then it just dissipated very quickly. And then you get scrutiny from people outside of the sport saying that's just unprofessional, right? Like Dick Vitale was not happy about it. And
I don't care.
Right. I'm with you. It doesn't matter what Dick Vitale has to say about this sort of thing. But
I always say this about Dick Vitale. I love him, and I think he's the most important figure in the history of college basketball. But I think that take there shows you why he didn't last as a coach.
And I think that this is something that is taken. I think that there are a lot of people that probably say, you know, you could have done it a better way. You don't have to use curse words. Well, this is a locker room, right?
On,
like, we understand what that is. Like, you don't need to be that, you know, directive towards it. But again, this is a team that has always beaten you. And this is what makes sports great, is when you have these rivalries. Like, if Denver does go to a Super Bowl this year, it's going to eat at the core at every single individual that is at One Arrowhead Drive. And if it doesn't, then that person doesn't need to be a part of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are going to watch that game of the Bills versus the Denver Broncos, myself included, who would have never been a fanboy for Buffalo, that will be a fanboy this weekend for Buffalo, because I hate Denver that much. When I was a kid, they put Vaseline on their jerseys so the Chiefs couldn't tackle them. John Elway tried to get the crowd to be quiet because it was too loud. And that was stuff that was like, Elway did that on purpose because he hated Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew where to go. Go to where the Chiefs drive, and that's their home crowd. And that's what built the hatred towards the Broncos. John Elway's never been a Richard to me. I've never met the guy. John Elway's never said anything bad to me personally, but I hate him. Why? Because he beat me, and he did it with swag, and he did it with the way that Elway did it. Minute 14 left in the game, Chiefs up 3. You were losing that game. Why? Because you knew John Elway was going to do it, and you hated him for it. You go back to the 70s and the 80s with the Raiders. Chiefs always got the flash from the Iconda because they were caught hitting the guy before the guy hit them first. And you hated it. The silver and black, everything involved with it, you hated it. Al Davis didn't like him. He didn't like Kansas City. He didn't like him. But it wasn't that they hated the community or they hated you personally. They hated your team. And that's what creates the rivalry in sports. And we need more of that. And Ben Johnson, you are fine and okay doing exactly what you did in that locker room, according to Dusty Likens. And I know I don't matter, but don't worry about what other people say. It's unprofessional. The hell with them.
Yeah, unprofessional at all. It's understanding your fan base.
Sports 101.
It's understanding that you're in the business of entertaining, right? And that's what I think some people in sports truly don't understand. And that's why I always go back to Carl and Marty and the way that they handled the Raider rivalry, right? Like Carl in December of 88 coming in from Philadelphia, Marty Schottenheimer was hired soon after coming in from Cleveland. Neither of them had a connection to Kansas City, but they knew how much that this organization and the Kansas City Chiefs hated the Oakland Raiders or Los Angeles Raiders or wherever the hell they were at that point in time, right? They knew how much that Al Davis and Lamar Hunt didn't get along, at least in front of the scenes, right? Who knows what happens behind the scenes? But they knew what that rivalry was about from the 60s and 70s. And they came in here to Kansas City, a team that was going nowhere, an organization that was going nowhere, a fan base that didn't care. You're getting more people per night at a Royal than you were getting Sundays at Chiefs games. And they came in, they go, well, what are we going to do? How do we fix this thing? And they realize, you know what? We got to put on a show here. And I really think Carl Peterson was one of the first in the NFL to make it about the event, right? Like there were games in the 90s and the early 2000s, like you felt like you had to be at Arrowhead. You had FOMO. It's one of the first FOMOs that you had if you weren't out there seeing what was going on. And they embraced the rivalries and they got people fired up about the rivalries and they brought the fan base back in because they resonated with the fan base and they got in bed with the fan base and they made it about, all right, the fans hate the Raiders. Fine. We'll hate the Raiders too. And we'll play this whole thing up. And they were so successful and the whole city had their back. It was all on board. And to this day, you hear from Dana and everybody that was around and played in those days, how much they still hate the Raiders. That was showmanship. And Ben Johnson's taking a page out of what Marty and Carl did when they first came into Kansas City. All right, what are we going to do? All right, let's get people fired up. Let's talk smack on the Packers. Nobody likes the Packers, right? And I guarantee you all this took. This is all pre-planned. All right, let's take shots at the Packers. Let's go out there and be negative. And Ben Johnson's like, yeah, I played in Detroit for a few years. I hate them guys anyway, so it's normal for me. And so you've resonated, you've connected, you've become one of your fans by treating the rivalry this way. And Ben Johnson has nobody to go in front of and stand before other than the city of Chicago and his team. And if somebody outside of Chicago doesn't like what Ben Johnson's saying, he should double bird them too, because that's what I want out of my football coach. And if I was on the fence on Ben Johnson, I am now fully in bed with Ben Johnson because of what he did in that press conference and, that post-game meeting.
And maybe that's a little bit of what Detroit missed this year.
Yeah.
Now, I know Detroit has Dan Campbell, and he's going to, you know, bring it more than anybody else in that locker room. But again, he said, I'm not sorry for my Packers rant. And then people say, well, he was unprofessional with the handshake. Well, then go back, because it seems like Ben Johnson's got a memory of an elephant, because he can go back and watch LaFleur do the same handshake. And I'm sorry, but I'm a competitive prick myself. And if I play poker and somebody beats me on a river card and celebrates, you better believe if I get that opportunity, I'm going to do it too when it comes to my opportunity.
Why shouldn't you?
Like when we went to the Royals game and that guy hits a home run for the Yankees and the guy stands up in front of us and goes, that's my shortstop. Bobby Witt Jr. would hit a home run two innings later. And what did you do? Stood up and said, that's my shortstop.
Well, you could take the kid out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the kid.
But again, like that's what makes.
And the Packers will do that.
But Bob didn't.
And I can't wait.
Bob didn't stand up and say, take that, fat ass. He stood up and said the same thing the guy said to us. And it's fun that way. It's not.
It is fun in the crowd when you can have that back and forth, and it's fun. It's now, when you go to Philadelphia, it's different.
Yeah, you got to read the room.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go to the Black Hole back in the day with a Chiefs jersey and double bird everybody.
I did that one time, and I had a little red on my polo that I was wearing, and you would have thought I was in the wrong spot at the wrong time, man. That was not a place to go in. And that's what makes the rivalry great. You know, that's why the rivalry was so fun. And we've lost that over the years in sports. As Nathan said earlier, it's like all these coaches today, Andy included, they don't want to say anything to upset the apple cart, because anytime you say something, people take it out of context, people run with it, people make a big deal out of it. It's now Tuesday, and we're still talking about Ben Johnson from Saturday night. Now, I know we addressed it again yesterday and says, I don't like that team. Why are people mad about that? That's good. That is healthy. That is normal. I know it's not 2026. We're all supposed to sit around and sing Kumbaya and make freaking s'mores, but I need more Ben Johnson and less of other stuff that's been in sports, man. I love the fact that he's up there doing that. That's great for him.
And It's a little sour grapes to me compared to the rivalry when the safety from the Packers, Bullard, got in the locker room after the game and said they didn't do anything special. We were whooping them. We didn't finish. Mm-hmm. They're not good.
We lost.
We gave it to them. And I don't want my people saying that. I take accountability. But on the flip side, I see that brewing. What you're talking about, Dusty, is the two innings later, they hit a home run. Next season, they beat the Bears. They're taking that bus around the stadium. That locker room, they're saying stuff about Ben Johnson. And that's good for football. The back and forth is great for the sport. I love to see that.
Especially in that rivalry.
And then you know what happens next year? You know how excited everybody is? It's Packer week. And it's the whole week.
Or
and
it's
everybody's
Bear week.
Or it's Bear week up in Green Bay. And everybody's intense. The whole city's on edge. Everybody's waiting. Signs are up. People are, you know, not talking to their friends that they know from Wisconsin. Like, it's awesome. It really is. I wish we had that Raider rivalry again like we did back in the day. That was fun.
And I know it's not a stretch of a take, but I can promise you, within the first 5 weeks of the season next year, Sunday Night Football will be Green Bay versus Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
It may be the opener on Sunday night. If one of those teams don't go to the, obviously.
That'd be the Thursday night game.
Yeah, so if the Bears don't go to the Super Bowl, I bet it's Packers-Bears to open this thing up on Sunday Night Football. Why wouldn't it be?
No doubt about it. This was something also Bob loves.
Adam Schefter wrote, this is an awesome post-game exchange between a reporter and Jags head coach. But then Mark Long, who's an AP reporter, kind of went in on this.
Yes.
And he said nothing awesome about this, called you fake media. Mm-hmm. Said that you shouldn't even have been up there asking those kind of questions. Oh. So when you heard that, how did that make you feel?
I don't take no offense to it. Listen, I've been in this business more than 25 years. I've interviewed from Barack Obama to Terry Bradshaw to, what's my guy named, Tiger Woods. So he can say whatever he want about fake news. I am a member of the Black Press, NNPA. The National Newspaper Association that's been around more than 100 years. I'm the associate editor of the Jacksonville Free Press, one of the more than 230 African-American newspapers still printing in this country today. In Jacksonville, you have the Florida Star since 1955. We've been around since 1986. In Philadelphia, the Philly Tribune has been printing since 1884.
We
in my hometown of Detroit, the Michigan Chronicle has been printing since 1935. So support the Black Press. So he can call me fake all you want to, honey. I've been doing this a long time.
Let me tell you something.
People know me.
I love her. Let me tell you, you think I'm fake? That's the Associated Press that called her fake. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed Barack Obama, Terry Bradshaw, and Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Let me see your resume, because I guarantee you, just about every single person in that locker room and in that press conference on, what was it, Sunday? Saturday, when she did, when that, Sunday?
Sunday.
When that happened on Sunday afternoon, I guarantee you, everybody in that press conference room, nobody can put together a resume as good as her resume is.
She'd go back at it again about going viral.
I mean, did you know this was going to throw you into the spotlight?
I did not. I really did not. I mean, it was a typical day. Go to the press box. And it was just an overwhelming day. I can tell you that this entire city, this town, our team, our city, and our coach, we were overwhelmed. I mean, and I really was not going to attend the press conference, but I left out. I was talking to a young man. I'm sure he know who he is. 23-year-old young man. We're just talking about the game. I'm telling him I'm from Michigan, this and that, and I'm giving him some words. He said, ma'am, he said, you need to go ahead and go attend the press conference. So I went back. I went down, went through how we maneuvered through. And I sat there, and everyone was back there. And then, coach, word up, coach. So coach came out, and he was his emotions. He was totally immersed, his feelings. He had tears. He bit his lip. And the issue is the question, not necessarily a question in the fourth quarter, in the fourth down, and the punt came through.
Right.
But my question was, keep your head up, young man. Yeah. Young man, you, this entire year, we have rooted for this team over more than 30 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, the stadium, the solemnness, we were rooting, I mean, it was packed. So he was like, yes, ma'am, thank you. So now I'm the new grandma.
You probably needed to hear it.
Yeah.
And again, I think you should go back. It wasn't a question. It was just a statement being made that she's like, hey, man, like, I'm not one of these sports, you know, journalist people that are going to worry about, like she said, fourth down, third down, whatever it was. I just want to let it be known that, like, what you've done and what you did this year, great time. Thank you very much. Go on with your day.
Yeah.
And all these people that got mad about it because they weren't in there and it didn't involve them, they take it to where they want to go with it. And then she's over here double down and going, I don't care what people think. I just said something that I thought felt great to say. It was a statement that I made. And if you don't like it, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm glad she did what she did. I'm glad she said what she said, and I'm glad she did yesterday on the TV, because that she did a TV interview in Jacksonville, and it was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. And there's a couple of things is that Pat McAfee made the comment. Did you see his comments on this yesterday, guys, by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Pat McAfee basically said the people who cover sports don't love sports. And I thought about that for a minute, and I think the better thing that Pat McAfee could have said, and I'm not disagreeing with what Pat McAfee said at all, but what Pat McAfee probably could have said is, excuse me for a second, the people that cover sports on a daily basis don't truly understand what sports means to the people who consume sports on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that reporter, Lynn Jones, yesterday, 2 days ago, expressed what sports truly means to a fan base. Sports reporters are worried about getting an article in the paper, breaking a story, caring about an injury list, all minutia that the average fan just doesn't care about.
Yeah, the food in the press box.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The stuff that most sports reporters tell us, I don't care about. I really don't. It doesn't impact me. It doesn't impact me day to day. But what does impact me day to day is watching the team, being in a community with everybody watching the team, celebrating when the team does good, everybody feeling bad when the team does poorly. Sports now is so important to our society, I believe, because it does. It's the great uniter. It brings everybody together. Kansas City's a better place when the Royals are winning and when the Chiefs are winning. There's no doubt about it. Everybody's in a better mood. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's spending money. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's bitching. Everybody's in a great mood. And I've seen personally what sports does to change the psyche of a city. When I started here in 2001, Kansas City was like, oh, I wish we could just be St. Louis. Now we're the world's team. We've got the World Cup. The NFL draft's been here. I mean, it's been Super Bowl's obviously on its way, as is back in the rotation for the Final Four because of what we have going on, you know, with the Chiefs' new venue and all that. So sports to me, really, it's not about what the media dictates and what they think should be covered in sports, because the majority of the stuff that the media covers and asks questions about is what about 90% of the average fan just doesn't care, doesn't understand, and doesn't want to bother with. But when that reporter was expressing what that city was feeling and letting that coach know what this city was feeling, that was great. I've told the story a million times about me and Dayton Moore and the night they won the World Series at 2:30 in the morning. And I didn't want to talk about baseball with him. I looked at him and I go, do you realize the impact you've had on this town? And he goes, not really. And I'll never forget that. And she's basically telling Liam Cohen, yeah, you didn't win today, but man, you had an impact on this town. And you made a positive impact on this town. And my wife even said to me, she goes, did you see the way his face changed when she started talking? He became in a better mood because of her. So for all of you dorks out there that are worried about why they didn't convert on third down and, you know, incomplete percentage on second and nine with the 12th person, nobody cares about that. She made an impact, and I love her for it.
That community. They chant their county's name. That's their rallying cry. They've got no other professional sports team. And when you're looking at just that team, that coach came in, got rid of a GM the fans hate, and he's resurrected a quarterback the fans thought was left for dead. They love that coach for what he's done for that franchise and that community. Who cares that 20 seconds of the press conference was taken to make him smile and lift his spirits? I don't care.
The picture is set for the weekend, plus we get back into what is tonight's meaning for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. They play at 8 against Iowa State. Big game. We'll talk about it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I don't matter. Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan as well on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up next, Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2. And then CDOT. And don't forget, Thursday night, baby, 6 o'clock, the hot stove is back. I will be tuned the F in. Vern, back on your radio airwaves, talking all things Royals on Thursday night's Hot Stove Show at 6 p.m. on 96.5 The Fan. Royals rally coming up January 31st, I believe, at Coffin State. Yep. Vern also will be there. Should be the one that gets asked for autographs more than anyone there in that building.
I would imagine. Yeah, I think he should be.
That's how it usually is.
Yeah, I always love when my friends or former coworkers come up to me and they're like, hey, man, I got to meet Vern for the first time. That guy's a dude. I'm like, yeah, join the list,
people
man.
People love meeting Vern. Yeah,
it's
great.
We've been glazing Vern for a while here, at least from this guy. Great dude, knows his stuff. Always great to hear his voice again because that means sooner than later, the birds in the background of Cotrero's phone calls on this show will be coming through the through the airwaves. And then baseball will be here as I believe the Royals' first game is like February 12th or something like that.
No, that's when they report.
Yeah, February like 23rd, I think, is their first game against the Texas Rangers in spring training. So that'll be good to get that going as well. Tonight's a marquee matchup in Lawrence, Kansas, mm-hmm. as the number two team in the nation. The top two teams in the nation come from the Big 12, by the way. Arizona number one, Iowa State number two. Iowa State, Kansas tonight. Massive game, right? Had the opportunity to go this game, turn it down because it's a school night. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even get home till like 12:30.
The 8 o'clock games,
so
yeah.
I said, I wish this game was a Saturday at 11. I'd be there by 9 o'clock, ready to just get nuts with Allen Fieldhouse. But I wonder if, and maybe this is a hot take, maybe this is a lazy take, but I wonder if today's modern game of college sports has passed Bill Self by. And the reason I say this is not discrediting what Bill Self has done, not discrediting who he is as a probably the will go down as the greatest coach in Kansas history.
No question, yeah.
Right? But the way things are, and I saw Kleinman's comments yesterday, the former K-State football coach, saying that part of the reason, or the majority of the reason why he retired, is that there are no barriers on the NIL. There's no real logic behind how to control the transfer portal. Dylan Raiola, who we thought was going to be the next great quarterback in Nebraska, where's he going? Oregon. Right. So that's tough. And I don't think it discredits Bill. I just think that we go back and we talk about this whole show today and like talk about the rivalries in sports with Ben Johnson talking about the Packers. The schools that you used to see all the time in college sports are no longer there. Check into the national championship where it's Indiana, Miami. Now, mm-hmm. Miami has a history, obviously. Indiana's history was known as the worst college football team record-wise in the history of college
ever.
Sports. NIL and transfer has changed that. You look at moving forward when it comes to college basketball. North Carolina's not really as relevant anymore. Kansas hasn't been as relevant anymore. And part of that is because the game has changed. And I see that we've noticed a lot of these coaches are like, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it. Saban's one of the ones that comes mm-hmm. to the top of the list saying, what I did was great. Everybody now has equal opportunity to make their program great. Back then, we all know behind closed doors, there was a duffel bag dropped at somebody's front porch. There was a, you know.
That was a McDonald's bag.
That too. And now I think that when you look at today's game, maybe it's not meant for Bill anymore. I don't think that's necessarily a shot. I just think that the game has changed where loyalty to go to Kansas, when you go to a game as a senior in high school and you see the video before they play a big game, you're like, dude, I'm going to go here.
Yeah.
And you go there for 1 year and you're like, nah, I didn't play much. I'm going to go to Baylor. And I think that's where the game's lost because, as you had mentioned before, Bill built his teams on trust, longevity, and tradition.
Well, he built it on being able to bring a kid in as a freshman, and by the time they were a senior, they were a fan favorite. They understood what Kansas basketball was about. They understood Bill Self. They were a connection from Bill Self to the younger kids. I mean, a conduit, I should say, from Bill Self to the younger kids. That's where Bill has always been his best. And you know, we've talked for years about this kind of stuff, him and I. And, you know, back in the days with Kling, we used to go up there all the time to Lawrence and talk on and off the record with Bill around lunch tables and whatnot. I mean, probably had more off the record conversations with him than I've had with anybody over the course of my career. And a lot of it always focused on this one and done stuff in college sports. And I would make the case years ago about, you know, like this one and done stuff, man, this isn't what Bill is best at. Bill is best at getting the freshmen, turning them into sophomores by the time they're juniors and then seniors, and they bought into this program. And you look at when Bill Self has won, you know, at the University of Kansas, and wins all the time, but I mean championships. 08 was a tight-knit group of guys. Then in 12, they went to the national championship game. Those were all seniors in a tight-knit group of guys as well. Then they win their next one, tight-knit group of guys and whatnot. And so every time he has astronomical success, and that's making the Final Four, he's always had a good group of players that have bought into the system, understood what it meant to play at Kansas, the magnitude of playing at Kansas, and all of that. Bill Self when he had to go and recruit the one and done, it didn't work out all that well with him. You had Josh Selby, who stunk. You had, obviously, Embiid, who stunk. There's Wiggins. Been Wiggins, who was hot or cold, and really you didn't do a whole lot out.
McLemore.
Yeah, Ben McLemore. And I said to Bill at one point, I go, stop recruiting these one and dones. And he looked at me and goes, you're an idiot. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I have to, man. Like, they're the best players out there. And if Kentucky and North Carolina are knocking on their doors, I got to be knocking on their doors. I said, yeah, but your programs are better when you get the kids as a freshman and you move them up. And he kind of laughed and chuckled. And, you know, we kind of moved on with our day. But that's always been what Bill is great at. Bill is great at bringing in freshmen and turning them into upperclassmen and building that program. And when you got to go with the one and done, it just hasn't been something that, you know, has been the best thing, you know, for him at the University of Kansas. And the game has changed so much right now. I mean, you've got probably, guys, just two legendary coaches left in all of college sports. It's Bill Self and it's Tom Izzo. And I'm even talking the football side of things. Are there any
Tino still count?
He's been on, off, on. Yeah, maybe, I guess.
I'm going to cheat to the questions. Bill Belichick, because he's in the college.
Yeah, he's not
now,
legendary from
it's
a college standpoint.
Question,
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah. Like the legendary, and I know Cal is still around, but, you know, he's railing. He may be out before we know it, too, with the stuff that he's been saying down at Arkansas. He's over this kind of stuff, you know, as well. And so I think from a legendary coach standpoint, we've lost all the legendary coach. They're done. They're not going to be doing this anymore. And I don't blame them, because the game has changed so much. And if you're in your mid-60s or early 70s, do you really want to adapt to all of this kind of stuff? Nah, I'll just step aside. You mentioned Chris Kleiman. Go read that article that they did on him in the Manhattan Mercury over the weekend. It was brilliant. It was awesome. It was everything that you knew was going on, and then you heard that it was going on. He goes, I'm not the only one that's being chased away by this stuff.
And you see that in life. Like, I know for a fact that when medical offices went from the envelope where you had little tabs that had A, B, C, D, all the way to Z,
yeah,
and they're like, hey, guess what? We're all going to put everything on the computer now. There were probably a lot of people that were in their mid-50s that were like, you know what, it's time for me to get out because I don't want to have to go learn all this and right. redo it and try to get good at it.
Right.
I think the same thing can be said about sports. Mm-hmm. Like, I think radio is the same way.
Sure.
Right? Like, terminology Life. Changes, technology changes, and people are like, you know what, I'm just not about that anymore, and I don't want to do that anymore right. because it's gone beyond what I actually enjoy trying to do, and I don't want to have to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's a knock at Bill Self's legacy. I just think that where we are at currently, I think sometimes the game passes you by. And I always go back to being a freshman in high school, and the baseball varsity coach Brad Mayfield said, a lot of you in this room will not make the team, and a lot of you will not play baseball ever again at a competitive level. And that's not necessarily a shot at you or where you are at skillfully. It just means that the game will pass you by, and you're just no longer able to compete at that level that the level is presented. And that's sometimes just hard to accept.
And now competing in college sports, it's not like you're competing against those 8-10 blue bloods that are out there every year. You're not competing against 365 different teams out there, because whether you're Kennesaw State or Kansas or Lorain University or Loyola, whatever the case may be, you have the same opportunity as everybody else. You can just go out there and write checks like everybody else did, and it's legal now. And the portal being open, like, the whole game has changed, man. I thought being a college coach sucked years ago. It sucks even worse now.
Hey, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is Simply Cool to Care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Again, coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2, and we will talk to you tomorrow, and so will Jay Binkley. It's a Wednesday. Take care.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra?
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.